PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Bitka. Deeper into Lebanon, the Israeli military has opened a new beachhead not far from the border with Syria. What is reported to be an unprecedented number of aircraft bombing Baalbek and choppers bringing in ground troops. In southern Lebanon, an intensified operation on the ground. Reporter Vicky Barker is traveling with an aid convoy 6 miles from the border.
Most of the residents of Marjayoun have fled. Of a population of about 30,000, there are now only about 2,000 residents left. The people here that you're hearing in the background are not from Marjayoun. They fled from villages in the area.
Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said an immediate ceasefire is not in the interest of the Jewish state. While President Bush continues to press for a UN resolution that links a ceasefire to a broader political solution, Europe is no longer waiting. 25 foreign ministers calling for an immediate cessation of hostilities, including Britain and Germany. It has to be reconciled with a very different oil drilling bill in the House, but the Senate has passed a measure expanding energy production in the Gulf of Mexico. Correspondent Bob Fuss.
This measure opens up 8 million acres in the eastern Gulf for new oil and gas drilling, not too close to Florida's beaches, and with a cash incentive for the Gulf states, they'd share royalties. New Mexico Republican Pete Domenici says environmentalists have blocked any change to the drilling moratorium for 25 years.
But you got to take a bit of a risk for a big benefit. In this case, it's a very minimal risk and a very big benefit.
The House and President Bush would like to open up a lot more offshore areas to drilling, but Senate leaders say this bill is as far as they can go. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Scalding temperatures are boiling much of the country. Coping with the heat puts a premium on Big Apple ingenuity.
Instead of drinking the water, I have to put it on. Yeah, because it's insane.
You just pouring it over your head?
Of course. It's just, you know, drink half and pour it in half and that's it.
There's also an old standby. With the AC cranked up to the max, the generating power of utilities is being tested and records being set. Landmark energy demand in New York City and for New Jersey's largest utility. And they're turning off the lights on the George Washington Bridge to conserve power. Admission and an apology. Mel Gibson says he did make anti-Semitic remarks and apologized directly to the Jewish community. He said he wants to meet one-on-one with Jewish leaders to talk about the appropriate way to bring about healing. Abraham Foxman is the national director of the Anti-Defamation League.
The first thing in dealing with any addiction, and prejudice is another addiction, is to remove denial, and I think he's done that.
Meanwhile, the preliminary finding by the head of the oversight panel that rides herd on the L.A. County Sheriff's Department says deputies did no wrong when they arrested Gibson, but the investigation is not over. On Wall Street, blue chips down nearly 60 points, the Nasdaq declining 29.5. Traders worry that the Fed may hike a key short-term interest rate. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
At his Senate confirmation hearings, the nominee to head the FDA, Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, says sound science would guide the agency under his leadership. But it's the political battle over the morning after pill that has surrounded his candidacy with doubt. The surprise announcement yesterday that the FDA was again considering over-the-counter sales of the pill, raising questions about the timing and the sincerity of the agency's commitment to the morning after pill. It was the first and the template for every rock and roll benefit that followed, the Concert for Bangladesh. The 35th anniversary marks the first time in the history of Madison Square Garden that a concert or an event has been honored in the arena's Walk of Fame. The plaque presented to the widow of George Harrison, who enlisted Bob Dylan, Leon Russell, Billy Preston, Eric Clapton, and others. The concert on disc and DVD continues even now to raise money for UNICEF. Bill Vitka, CBS News.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hello, Orkin Man.
Hi.
As a banker, I want to know if our financial institutions are safe from invaders.
Well, invaders attack the biggest investment most people make, their homes.
Mm.
Termites cause more damage than fires, earthquakes, and tornadoes put together.
Oh, no. How will this affect the markets?
Well, I would rate Orkin a buy. Orkin has been fighting invasions for over 100 years. We know how to control termites.
Protect your home. Protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for a free inspection.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Peter B. Collins!
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Originating on the left coast, our program is produced by Matt Renner, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Yes, it is unbelievable. We're now 19, 20 days into the violence in the Middle East, and no ceasefire in sight. We've got a lot to talk about on the program today. First up, Medea Benjamin, who's been fasting for peace, will join us. She's got some interesting updates. And we're also going to talk with her about Cuba and Fidel Castro's illness. He's handed off the reins of government to his brother, at least temporarily. We're also going to talk with Dan Restrepo from the Center for American Progress. He heads their America's desk, and he's got some strong opinions on Cuba. He'll be joining us in about half an hour. Also on our program today, our daily update from Chris Tonsing at the Middle East Report on the latest developments in the conflicts. Plus, Ivan Eland, he's a libertarian from the Independent Institute. He's got an interesting op-ed that he published recently, and we'll be talking about it here on the program today. Plus, Jason Leopold from TruthOut.org, Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and we will announce the winner of the Peter B. Collins first anniversary giveaway, that case of fine Central Coast wine from the Monterey Bay Wine Company. We'll do that in our final hour today during the Free Speech Zone. And you may find it unbelievable, but you're always welcome to join the conversation anywhere along the way. And we provide a toll-free line with a simple number. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 1-888-5-PETER-B. You prefer all digits? 888-573-8372. Joining us now from Washington on the eve of her own peacemaking trip to the Middle East, it's Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink for Peace. Hello, Medea.
Hello, Peter. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I wanted to check in with you because you don't have a lot of fat that I'm aware of, and you've been fasting for how long now?
It's day 30 tomorrow.
Wow.
Counting every day. And yes, it'll be a month tomorrow.
And how do you feel? And is this a method that you recommend to people for weight loss, or is it more important as a personal statement?
Well, let me tell you, it works as weight loss. That's certainly not why I'm doing it, but it's a side effect. Not a great one for me, because I'm down to under 100 pounds.
Oh, really?
But it's been an interesting experience. First time in my life I've ever done something like this. I did a fast for about 9 days. That was the longest. And it gets really tough.
Do you start to kind of hallucinate from the lack of food and lack of... I mean, I know you're taking liquids, right?
Oh, we're taking liquids, and I'm taking juices. There are other people on the fast that are only doing water, and I don't know how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been... it's relative. You know, it's easier for me because I do have the juices, and yet it's... I don't hallucinate. It's just very hard to focus. I've been trying to do this and plan a big trip to the Middle East and go through the halls of Congress every day, giving them a hard time, and all the other work. So I think it's a... I wouldn't recommend doing it all at once.
And does it affect your sleep, too?
No, you sleep really well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, and you've had a lot of heat there in Washington. Is it still beastly and highly humid?
Oh, it's very hot and humid. It's about 100 degrees here today. And outside the White House, where we've been when we're not strolling through the halls of Congress, it gets very, very hot.
Yeah. Now, last week, I understand that when Tony Blair came to the White House, some of the fasters made a personal statement and got arrested. Tell us a little bit about how that came down.
Yes, Tony Blair, as your listeners probably know, is a partner in crime, literally, with George Bush. And we didn't feel it was quite right to let him get away with coming to the White House and not encountering some protests. And so we did have a group that actually sat down and blocked the front entrance to the White House driveway for almost an hour before the police came and took them away.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that we managed to delay their schedule a bit, perhaps shave a little bit of time off of a meeting to discuss why there wouldn't be a ceasefire in the Middle East. We did give him at least a sense that there is opposition to the Bush-Blair policies.
Mm-hmm. And just give me your own thoughts about this expansion of military action, Israel on two fronts now, Gaza first and then into southern Lebanon. Certainly there's been a lot of carnage well beyond what we could call defensive Israel.
Well, that's right, and it's just shocking to me, Peter, that the world stands by in this day and age and allows it to happen, allows the United States to veto a ceasefire at the UN Security Council, making a mockery of the United Nations and making it an object of attack in Beirut itself when thousands of people showed their disgust at the lack of action on the UN on the part of the United Nations. So I think it's just appalling, and in this delegation that we're taking to the Middle East tomorrow, we will be going to Lebanon as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that in a moment, but first up, I have a clip here. You're welcome to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki of Iraq when he came to speak to the joint session of Congress last week, was captured by Jon Stewart's Daily Show, and the clip is still available here at ComedyCentral.com. So let's listen for a minute here as Medea Benjamin gets a little attention from Jon Stewart.
Hey, Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki spoke before a joint session of Congress, and at one point he was interrupted by a heckler from the gallery.
We can hear her.
Who'd have thought the woman in the Bring the Troops Home Now t-shirt would have been disruptive? Actually, the woman is Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the anti-war protest group Code Pink, and she's... sneaky. See if you can spot her at this press conference held by Donald Rumsfeld in 2003.
She's standing right behind Rummy.
She's the one yelling.
Is this really about oil? How many civilians will be killed?
Mister.
She was carried out of there as well. I believe she's not against the war. I believe she doesn't like walking. Honestly, how bad is security in Congress that they, the same lady each time, don't they have a picture of this lady? I have a picture of her. We're keeping her out of our studio. Here's actually, I should say, why I'm giving her a hard time about this. The truth is, she's not in it for politics. She's a professional heckler. Take a look.
And certainly, white people, I think, would find
That there.
So John Stewart is in front of a brick wall at the Yuck Yuck factory in 2004,
less fluid,
telling some bad jokes
than their brethren in the African American community.
And then they insert the audio from the congressional heckling. So, nice treatment from John Stewart. Do you care to respond to any of those scurrilous aspersions that were cast at you, Medea Benjamin?
Oh, I thought it was pretty funny. And, you know, anytime John Stewart starts about your actions, you know you're reaching a wide audience. So
yeah,
that's great.
You certainly are. To his points, do you just kind of stiffen up and make them carry you out? Is that part of your strategy when you are identified for removal?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't go out very easily,
okay,
although at 100 pounds, it doesn't take much to lift me up.
And why don't the Capitol Police have a picture of you, and how do you manage to keep getting into the gallery there?
This time, actually, they did know who I was, and there was nothing they could do about it because I had a valid pass given to me by a congressperson, and I had a seat number. Actually, when I got inside the gallery, they wanted to take my seat away from me and put me up. They set up a special seat for me right by the exit door. But I refused to sit in that seat and started making a scandal just when Dick Cheney walked in, and everybody got quiet so they couldn't do anything about it. There I was, seated in my assigned seat.
You are a one-woman ruckus society. All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Medea Benjamin. And if you haven't, go to the website, Code Pink for Peace. And what is the website for the fast that's underway, Medea?
It's TroopsHomeFast.org.
TroopsHomeFast.org. We'll continue in just a moment and get the lowdown on your trip to the Middle East tomorrow. If you have a question or comment for Medea, she's with us for another segment. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, brand new protest pop rock from Spearhead.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them.
It's Michael Fronte, the front man with the band Spearhead. A brand new CD is called Yell Fire, and that one is a powerful song called Time to Go Home. We're talking with Medea Benjamin, activist and co-founder of CodePinkForPeace.org. And Medea, you in touch with Michael Fronte? I'm so impressed with the music and the message that he emits.
Oh, yes, we work closely with Michael Fronte. I not only love his music, but he's just an amazingly wonderful person. And I don't know, Peter, if you've seen his new documentary that's come out that is based on a trip he made to Iraq and to Palestine, but it's very beautiful and, of course, has great music.
I haven't seen it. It's referenced in the CD information, and we got to follow up with the Spearhead folks and get in touch with them. I'd love to see the documentary and also have Michael back on the program.
Well, you see what real people-to-people ties can do when you see Michael Fronte walking around the streets of Baghdad with his bare feet and strumming his guitar and singing the only word in Arabic he knows, which is Habibi, Habibi, which means dear one, dear one. So
wow.
It's very lovely.
Yeah. Now, you depart tomorrow on your own peacekeeping mission in the Middle East. Tell us where you're going and who you're going to meet with.
Well, you heard in that clip that I wasn't very successful in talking to the Prime Minister, but that came on the heels of a lot of really serious attempts to meet with him or to have him meet with some representatives of the peace movement while he was here. And he, for a brief moment, seemed like he was going to, and then it must have been one of the Bush handlers that said to him, no way. So in the meantime, we were contacted by a group of parliamentarians from Iraq who said that they were moved by our fast and by our commitment to work on a peace plan for Iraq and bring the troops home, and they wanted to meet with us. So we were absolutely delighted at that invitation, and we are leaving tomorrow to meet with about six members of parliament from very different coalitions, Shias, Sunnis, religious groups, secular groups, and we are anxious to hear their plans for reconciliation that include a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops and to bring that back and pressure for that here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, I commend you. I hope you have a safe trip. It's going to be hot. It's going to be difficult. Over 100 people a day die on the streets of Baghdad alone. And so you're heading into a very difficult and potentially dangerous situation. But I applaud your efforts, and I hope you can make some headway there. I wanted to mention a listener from our Sacramento station, KSAC 1240 Talk City, dropped an email with some information. This Saturday in Sacramento, they're planning a mass demonstration at 16th and Broadway, starting at 6:30 in the evening, to protest continued U.S. and Israeli aggression in the Middle East. So that is this coming Saturday at 16th and Broadway, Sacramento, starting at 6:30 in the evening. Happy to pass that information along. Now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on with Medea Benjamin.
Thank you, Peter. And Medea, dear, I think you are a national treasure. I hope you will inspire others to be able to show your courage. Maybe you could even teach a small course on how to get around the massive security protecting these goons.
Well, where would we like to see that taught, Dave? Maybe in Humboldt State?
Boy, that would be a good place. They'd have a lot of people there that would be interested, but I guess it's got to be somewhere close to Washington because that's where the goons are at.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you'd like to add?
Stay with your good efforts there. And if you can bring others along with you, go for it. Free speech in this country is desperately called for right now.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Now, Medea, I wanted to turn to the situation in Cuba because at Global Exchange, you have sponsored many visits for American citizens, which, of course, are technically not permitted. But by going through Mexico, you can get around the travel restrictions. Tell us your thoughts about Cuba and what many people are now predicting is the ultimate passing of the baton from Fidel to his brother Raul Castro.
Well, Raul has been part of this government for decades already. I know that those in Miami who've been waiting and waiting for the demise of Fidel Castro think that this will mark a major change in Cuba, but it might not. And first of all, we don't know if this is a temporary passing of the baton. It was done because Fidel Castro is getting an operation. Those in Miami who time and again have not only predicted his demise but celebrated it have had to go back and try again. So I'd say it's not really clear that this is anything more than a temporary passing of the baton, and if it is indeed a more permanent one, it doesn't really mean major changes in Cuba.
Yeah. And under the current situation, I think both political parties are so beholden to the Cuban exile community in Miami that we can't expect any intelligent modifications of American policy.
Well, I think that there have been so many disastrous efforts on the part of the United States to impose changes on Cuba that it's similar to the situation in many other parts of the world. It tends to unite people inside the country against the United States. And that has been the result of U.S. policy for decades now. I would love to be optimistic that were Raul Castro in charge instead of Fidel Castro, that the Bush administration would say, oh, well, now let's open up exchanges with Cuba. Let's allow people-to-people travel to flourish. But I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah. No, we've extended the same winning policy that has failed us in Cuba to Venezuela and other countries. And we don't seem to have the capacity to really understand exactly what you said, that the more you attempt to isolate Castro, the more you unify the Cuban people behind him. And
Yes, and the other thing that that the U.S. is doing in Cuba is the exact same thing it's doing in Iran, which is sending U.S. tax dollars to try to strengthen opposition groups.
That's Medea Benjamin. Thanks for joining us, Medea. Have a safe trip.
Thanks.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Did you hear the show when God called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. In just a second, we're going to get some news and views on the shuffle in Cuba. Coming up about a half hour away, our daily update on the developments in the Middle East. Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. Plus, Ivan Eland will join us.
Everybody,
And if you're listening yesterday, you know we're very curious about this Murdoch Spencer sponsored confab that is underway at the Pebble Beach Golf Complex on the Central Coast. Our KRXA listeners are on the case. We have one source who's given us a little bit of information, and we're going to parachute Tommy Panic, our in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter, to Spanish Bay and see if he can dig up some news for us. So expect breaking news from Tommy Panic at any moment, today or tomorrow, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's my man, Keb Moe. That's an old Harold Melvin song, Wake Up Everybody. Well, there's some interesting things going on in the island nation of Cuba, just 90 miles off the American coast, due south of Key West, Florida, where Fidel Castro has been in full charge since 1959. And he turns 80 in just a couple of weeks. The birthday celebration has been postponed due to the health issues confronting the leader. He's due to have some serious surgery in the next immediate future. I don't know exactly when. And his brother, Raul, who has been his number two for many years, has been now officially designated as the temporary leader of Cuba. To give us more information and some analysis, we turn to Dan Restrepo. He's the senior policy advisor and director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress in Washington. So he focuses on the U.S. and its relationship with the rest of the Americas. He is a first-generation American of Colombian and Spanish parents, and he previously served as the director of congressional affairs at the CAP. He also worked at the well-connected law firm of Williams and Connolly in Washington, and served as an attorney for the Florida Democratic Party during the 2000 election recount. And for that alone, we tip our hat to you, Dan Restrepo. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Tell us your thoughts about this shuffle. We see kind of dancing in the streets of Miami and other Cuban communities in the United States. Is that a little premature?
It probably is a little premature. I think it's understandable that there's a significant amount of joy within the Cuban-American exile community, seeing Fidel Castro, even if only temporarily, cede power on the island is a major event. But it's important that that joy be accompanied by a heavy dose of patience, because it's not at all clear what is going to unfold from this point forward.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it causes us to reflect on America's policy toward Cuba and the Castro government. I considered it to be a total debacle, a complete failure. Do you have a counter view of any sort? Is there a moment when U.S. policy toward Cuba made sense?
Not particularly. U.S. policy toward Cuba has been incredibly counterproductive, not only in failing to bring about change on the island, but also very much hampering the United States' ability to deal with the transition when it does, in fact, come. We may be at that moment in time. We may be shortly before that moment in time. But we've very much, the steps we have taken have done a lot to hamstring the ability of the United States to deal with what it will be a very tricky set of circumstances if Fidel finally passes into history, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And let's just take one leading light of the Republican Party, one Jesse Helms, the former senator from the Carolinas. He really made it a point. The two things I remember Jesse Helms for from his Senate tenure, and what he served 30 years, maybe more, were his attempts to cut off funding to the UN, which I consider deeply misguided and not helpful to the U.S. position in the world, and the Helms-Burton Act, which was an attempt to ratchet up the various methods that we've tried to use to isolate the Castro government by limiting the transfers of U.S. currency, limiting communication with American relatives, limiting travel to Cuba, and of course limiting any kind of business relationship with the government or other entities on the island. When you look at the Helms-Burton Act, what has it done over what? It occurred about 95, 96, about
96. It's almost exactly 10 years old.
Yeah. So what was the vision of Jesse Helms, and how did it produce for the U.S.-Cuba relationship?
The vision of Jesse Helms and the kind of the hardline Cuban-American community that was behind the Helms-Burton Act was an attempt, a vain attempt at that, to multilateralize forcibly what is a unilateral embargo of the United States against Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world community has taken a very different approach toward Cuba, and the Helms-Burton Act was an attempt to try forcing them to take a different tact against their will, if you will, making them trying to create a circumstance where the rest of the world had to choose between doing business in Cuba and doing business in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It failed at most of what it attempted to do, but unfortunately what it did was further isolate the United States, further cut off the United States from the Cuban people, and very importantly in the situation that we now find ourselves in, are the provisions of the Helms-Burton Bill, which are the law of the land today, that govern when the United States can provide assistance to a transition government in Cuba.
Mm.
It sets up, the Title II of the Helms-Burton Bill sets up criteria for determining whether a transition government is in place. Those criteria are almost impossible. It's not clear that the U.S. government would qualify as a transition government, and will create a circumstance where the U.S. will again find itself isolated if change does start happening on the island, and will be in a position where we'll have to change the law to be able to do anything constructive on the island. And that is indicative of U.S. policy toward Cuba for the last 47 years. We've been very, very focused on the day of removing Fidel Castro from power, but we have not focused a great deal on what happens the day after that and the day after that and the days that follow.
And Dan, I wasn't a big fan of Clinton's relaxation of our efforts to keep China on a human rights policy. We had the Most Favored Nation annual renewal that was used to kind of ding the Chinese and to try to, move them into a more humane set of practices. But I do give Bill Clinton credit for the concept of constructive engagement. And by and large, I will concede that, it has been helpful. We still don't have free internet access in China. There's a lot of censorship that goes on. But I do agree fundamentally that engaging the government of China with business relationships will ultimately break down some of the social barriers that they have created. Yet we cannot even bring ourselves to consider a constructive engagement approach with Cuba.
Precisely. And that's where we've gone horribly awry, as far as I'm concerned. Constructive engagement with China is complicated by the fact that there are more than a billion Chinese, and they're separated from the United States by the largest body of water on the planet. Cuba is 11 million people separated by the 90 miles of the Straits of Florida. And constructive engagement in Cuba, in my opinion, has always been the way to precipitate the kinds of change that I think everybody wants to see in Cuba. And we have, by taking the different tack, by taking a very confrontational approach, we have in many ways helped perpetuate the very regime that we said we wanted to change all along.
And we're using that same brilliant and time-tested strategy on Venezuela now, are we not?
Absolutely. We have seen the Cubanization of U.S.-Venezuela policy in a ham-handed set of moves by the Bush administration that in large measure are aggrandizing, again, somebody who leaves a lot to be desired on a democracy index, Hugo Chavez. We're feeding the beast by confronting him and by aggrandizing him and by creating rhetoric that says that there's a battle of ideas between us and him in the Americas. We're giving him a platform that he doesn't quite frankly deserve, and that is again self-defeating, and all it does is help consolidate his position both in Venezuela and throughout the region.
And just as we drove Castro into the arms, the open arms of the Soviet Union, are we not helping Hugo Chavez embrace Russia and other countries who are at least trading opponents, if not some sort of modified ally?
Yeah, obviously the world dynamic is a significantly different one from what it was in the early 1960s, where there were two clear camps, and pushing away Castro had a clear consequence in terms of driving him to our opponents. But Chavez is an instigator. He likes to mix it up with the United States. Again, it's in his interest. And you saw just this week he received an award from Iran the Iranian government. Of all people,
mm-hmm.
Again, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend is the kind of circumstance that we're setting up that doesn't do anybody any good.
Well, the other thing is that the call from George W. Bush for the embrace of democracy in every part of the world is deeply hypocritical when he won't deal fairly with a guy like Hugo Chavez. And you know, I don't consider Chavez perfect, but I do believe he was freely elected. I do believe that we tried to knock him off, and then Pat Robertson tried to pray him off. And I think that those signals are not at all helpful. And certainly we could deal with Hugo Chavez on terms favorable to the United States without pushing him, as we've said, into the arms of say, Tehran.
Yeah, the United States, again, and the Bush administration's view towards democracy in the Western Hemisphere is very results-oriented. They're only particularly in favor of democracy when it churns out people who agree with them. And that may be true throughout the world, if you stop and think about it. And, again, it has been counterproductive. Chavez has won elections. He's won free and fair elections. He has not governed in a particularly democratic fashion, and it's troubling. He has done a lot to repress the freedom of press, to complicate the lives of his opponents, now, again, not to the extent that Castro has in Cuba, but in a way that is troublesome. And the U.S. is very much engaged with Venezuela on a daily basis. They are our second largest supplier of petroleum. So we have, at the same time that we're having this rhetorical battle with Chavez, we have a very close working relationship with Chavez and the Venezuelans. He is only able to do what he does because the West is addicted to his oil. So it's an odd dynamic that exists. It's a dynamic that is, again, counterproductive to the U.S. interest in the Americas, and creates a situation where Chavez can hold himself out as the champion of the little guy, and the United States ends up in a box where we're the champion of corporate interests. And again, that's just not where we want to be with respect to our neighbors in the Americas.
We're talking with Dan Restrepo. He is Senior Policy Advisor, Director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress. He's with us for another segment. So if you have a question or comment about the future of Cuba post-Fidel, maybe it's a little premature, but we can still speculate. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Go ahead, light up that Cuban cigar. We're talking with Dan Restrepo. He's Senior Policy Advisor and Director of the Americas Project at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And during the break, he was kind enough to turn off the air conditioner there. I know it's really hot in D.C. there. I thought it was a real noisy phone line, but you're just trying to beat the heat a little bit.
My apologies for that.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just a few more minutes and you can return to, hopefully, air-conditioned comfort.
It'll get me more in the mood about Cuba.
Dan, I wanted to ask you to give us a little more background. 10 years ago, the Helms-Burton Act. You were working on the congressional staff there and were a major player, a key player. And remind us of the politics of the Democratic side, because we had the Ilian Gonzalez case, but that popped up in 98, right? That was after Helms-Burton?
Correct. That was after Helms-Burton.
Right. So what were the dynamics, and why was it that Bill Clinton couldn't veto the Helms-Burton Act?
The politics of Helms-Burton were very complicated, and the Democratic Party has had a kind of mixed record, if you will, in terms of taking what I would consider to be a reasonable approach towards Cuba.
I agree.
The immediate precipitating event in which President Clinton found himself with the Helms-Burton bill on his desk was the Cuban shoot-down of two civilian airplanes flown by Cuban exiles in a group called Brothers to the Rescue, who are a group of Cuban Americans who fly Cessnas, essentially, over the Florida Strait, spotting Cuban rafters who are trying to flee Cuba and successfully make it to the United States. They were regularly in the air and would spot and report into the U.S. Coast Guard so the Coast Guard could go pick these folks up, because this is a very life-threatening enterprise to take to the Florida Straits in a rickety raft. So two planes from Brothers to the Rescue were shot down by the Cuban government in February of 1996. And it was at that moment that what had been a very stalled piece of legislation in the United States Congress, particularly in the United States Senate through the hard work of Senator Dodd, got unstuck. And Democrats, including the White House, didn't see fit or didn't see it politically feasible for them to stand in the way of the legislation moving forward. And again, it was 1996. We were ramping up to an election.
Right.
And a lot of bad U.S. policy towards Cuba formulation can draw a direct line between the electoral calendar and bad moments in U.S. Cuba policy formulation.
Well, also, I have to say that on a political level, I give credit to the Cuban exiles in Miami, because they've been able to command a great deal of political juice from both parties.
Absolutely. The exile community has been incredibly well organized, particularly at the time under the leadership of Jorge Mascanosa, who has since passed. He died of cancer in the late 1990s, actually just before the Elian Gonzalez debacle, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's long been my opinion that the Elian Gonzalez debacle would have never taken place had Mascanosa still been alive and in charge of the Cuban-American exile community, because he was too savvy a politician to let that sort of circumstance get as out of hand as it did. But they've been very skillful in working within the constructs of the U.S. political system, particularly in South Florida, but not only in South Florida. There's significant Cuban-American population in New Jersey, and and have given a lot of political support to now Senator Robert Menendez, who's actually the architect of Title II of the assistance provisions of the Helms-Burton Act that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, so there's I agree with you 100%. You kind of have to take your hat off to the ability of the Cuban American community or segments of the Cuban American community to make their voices heard on both sides of the aisle and to effectively commandeer, if you will, or certainly help steer significantly U.S. policy toward the island.
Dan, let me take you back to the Monica Lewinsky case and the impeachment hearings, because something occurred there, and I feel like I'm the only one in America who noticed it. Monica told a story about how one day she was in the Oval Office, and she was under the desk, okay? And she was pleasuring the president. And she was challenged on the details and asked to corroborate, you know, the date and time that this occurred. And she said, well, while I was doing this, the president took a phone call. And it was from one of the Von Ewell brothers. And the Von Ewell family owns sugarcane processing. They dominate the sugar industry in Florida. And if I'm correct, one of the Von Ewell brothers donates to Democrats and one donates to Republicans. And this call came in a day or two after Al Gore had announced a new strategy for trying to clean up the ecological problems in the Everglades that would have negatively impacted the sugarcane growing operations of the Von Ewells. And so Clinton took this phone call, and the Republicans focused on the fact that it corroborated the testimony of Monica Lewinsky. I focused on what I see as the fact that Bill Clinton was servicing a donor, and he agreed in that conversation to roll back the Everglades initiative that had just been announced by his vice president. Do you recall that episode, and or am I the only one?
I don't recall the specifics of the episode during the impeachment process. There were so many, I guess, colorful stories associated with the impeachment of President Clinton. But again, the Cuban American community in South Florida and elsewhere has been very actively engaged in the political process in the country, and has, like others who are very engaged in the political process in the country, been able to have access and influence with leaders, again, on both sides of the aisle. And have been able to shape policy, certainly U.S. foreign policy with respect to Cuba. And I'm not saying it's all a function of the interests of the Cuban-American community, because obviously it falls into it. Originally, the U.S.-Cuba policy was very much a function of our Cold War policies writ large. To the extent of the, you know, I guess I can't really, I'm not in a position to comment in terms of the domestic impact of Cuban-American donors and opinion leaders with respect to the Everglades project in the mid-1990s that Vice President Gore was advocating for.
But you certainly know the Von Ewell brothers and their power in that community.
They are certainly well-recognized members of the Cuban-American community who, again, have been very actively involved in politics at the local, state, and federal level.
And I tell the story not just to, you know, thrill people about presidential sex, but it really struck me that this was a very strong indication of the influence that Cuban Americans have, even on a centrist Democrat like Bill Clinton. And as we look forward, at some point Castro will die, there will be some sort of a transition, and my fear is that the Miami community will prevent any rational move forward because they're so stuck in the past.
It's important that that not happen. And one of the things that has happened in recent years is the expansion of groups in the United States who are interested in Cuba. Most specifically, the ag community in the United States has recognized the opportunity to sell their products on the island. And that has started to change the political calculus a little bit in Washington, and at least has added something to the mix so we're not simply following the interests or designs of a particular community. So there's some broadening out of the of U.S. policy towards the island. There's also or folks who are interested in U.S. policy towards the island, and also I think a transition creates a different dynamic. It's important for everybody to remember that a transition in Cuba should not and cannot mean a return to 1958 in Cuba. is a very different place than it was then, and the exile community is very different than it was.
Yeah.
So there needs to be it's a danger, certainly, that the exile community very much a part of driving U.S. policy. But I think a transition creates an opportunity to broaden it out and to consider the national interest in not having significant out-migrations from Cuba.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people on the island, and they're not very far away.
Dan, our time is up. I want to thank you for joining us. Enjoyed talking with you.
I enjoyed it as well. Thank
Dan
you.
Dan Restrepo from the Center for American Progress, a senior policy advisor, director of the Americas Project. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Middle East with Chris Tonsing and Ivan Eland from the Independent Institute, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Israel cranks up its war machine and rejects all calls for a ceasefire yet. And U.S. combat readiness among its reserves is called into question.
Two-thirds of Army and Army National Guard operating forces aren't ready for war.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. In the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon, flares hang in the night sky, chasing darkness into the next hillside. And the fighting is intense in the town of Baalbek, where Hezbollah claims to have some Israeli soldiers trapped in a hospital. CBS's Sharon Alfonsi is in Lebanon.
Israel is expanding its ground campaign, changing the direction of the war and the tempo. Today, you could hear it. In villages around southern Lebanon, ground forces were engaged in fierce battles with Hezbollah guerrillas. Israeli fighter jets resumed sporadic airstrikes deeper inside Lebanon. And tonight, Israel's prime minister said they are now winning the war and therefore are closer to a ceasefire.
Israel's deputy prime minister said the military campaign could end in weeks, which says it won't end this week. The European Union called for a ceasefire to give diplomats a chance to make talk that matters. And in the last hour, Secretary of State Rice said she thinks a ceasefire is days away rather than weeks. Now this message.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
What about American National Guard forces? What would it take to bring them back up to strength and readiness?
Two-thirds of Army National Guard brigades aren't combat-ready, a new revelation following the admission that not a single Army brigade combat team in the U.S. is prepared for war deployment. Retired Army Colonel and CBS News consultant Jeff McCausland.
It's largely an equipment problem, but obviously if equipment is not available for units that are preparing to deploy, then there's a natural consequence for their training cycle.
With congressional elections just 3 months away, Democratic leaders have released a letter from former top security officials warning that readiness hasn't taken this big of a hit since Vietnam. Assistant Senate Democratic Leader Dick Durbin.
Our military is being degraded to an alarming level.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Montana Senator Max Baucus's nephew has died in Iraq. Marine Corporal Philip Baucus was 28, killed in Anbar province over the weekend. Cuba's Fidel Castro, sidelined by intestinal surgery, is said to be recovering in stable condition, making progress. That's from the government TV. CBS News Foreign Affairs Analyst Pamela Falk says.
Even if the transfer of power to Raul Castro proves to be temporary, the redistribution of power by Fidel, who has concentrated most of the power of the government in his own office, makes this a dry run for a post-Castro period.
President Bush had his physical today. He's up a couple pounds.
Doing fine. Health's fine. Probably ate too many birthday cakes.
Wiping the sweat. Turning the AC on high. Getting wet and sitting in front of a fan. This enormous wave of heat has marched across the nation and is now on the East Coast.
I'm Karen Regal in New York. It is scorching here in the city. Try being a cab driver with your AC on the fritz.
I cannot use the air conditioner, no. You know, some customers, they complain, oh, you don't have AC.
Joe picked a bad day to move to Long Island. He spent all day lugging his stuff into a U-Haul.
It was scheduled a month in advance, so we had no control over the weather. Well, it didn't rain.
Alfonso is a FedEx delivery guy, and he says he's figured out how to beat the heat.
Instead of drinking the water, I have to put it on. Yeah, because it's insane.
You have to put it over your head?
Of course.
Behind the heat has come the rains. That's in El Paso, Texas. That's Texas rain. At least 60 people had to be rescued from rising waters there. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hello, Orkin Man.
Hi.
As a banker, I want to know if our financial institutions are safe from invaders.
Well, invaders attack the biggest investment most people make, their homes.
Mm.
Termites cause more damage than fires, earthquakes, and tornadoes put together.
Oh, no. How will this affect the markets?
Well, I would rate Orkin a buy. Orkin has been fighting invasions for over 100 years. We know how to control termites.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN for a free inspection.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call You and Us. Member SIPC.
Actor, director Mel Gibson has abjectly apologized for a...
And we launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We are live in Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz on KRXA 540, live in Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County on KGOE 1480, and people tune in the nighttime in Sacramento on 1240 KSAC Talk City, and in Phoenix, Arizona on 1480 KPHX. Wherever you are and however you listen, I'm glad you're part of the package here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
No technological breakdown. This is the road to hell.
Up next, an update on the Middle East situation from Chris Tonsing, and then shortly we'll be joined by Ivan Eland. He is a fellow at the Independent Institute, a libertarian, and he has some interesting remarks about the Middle East. He posted an item last week, Israel is winning the battle, but not the war. And not even sure about the battle part these days. Chris Tonsing, thank you, as always, for joining us today with an update. What is the latest from the combat scenes in the Middle East?
Well, more combat. Al Jazeera is reporting that there has been a major Israel Defense Force commando raid in Baalbek in the Bekaa Valley, which is sort of central north Lebanon, considerably removed from the area in the south where most of the ground operations have been. And reportedly, this raid is targeted at a hospital in Baalbek where purportedly some kind of Hezbollah official or military commander is seeking medical treatment. And there is supposedly a fierce battle there. The Israeli army is declining any comment on this operation, but it is being reported by both Al Jazeera and also by the Israeli press.
And is Baalbek actually, or Baalbek, isn't that in the Bekaa Valley more of a Maronite Christian area?
It's a mixed area. There are a lot of Shia who live there.
I see.
But there is also a Christian population. The town of Zahla is around there, and that's that's had an old Christian population. There are also Sunnis in that area, so it's a mixed area.
But,
it is one of the areas of the country where the Shia population is concentrated.
Okay. And any other military developments? Is Hezbollah launching rockets today?
There have been more rockets, and there are also more battles in the south around the village of Zaita Shab in the south, and where reportedly, again, not confirmed by the Israeli army, Israeli soldiers have been killed and presumably also Hezbollah fighters.
And what I last heard late last night was that Israel was going to send significant ground troops into the area around Bint Jabal, which has been pilloried by airstrikes and has been virtually leveled.
Yeah, there was an expanded ground operation launched last night. It's still not the full force of that the army could bring to bear. It doesn't involve all the reservists who have been called up, for example. But it is an expanded operation from what was occurring in a couple of days ago. Also worth noting, that the self-imposed Israeli curb in aerial activity, they called it, which was supposed to expire at midnight Middle Eastern time. This raid that's being reported in Baalbek, which also involved an airstrike apparently on the hospital, occurred 3 hours before that self-imposed deadline. So that curb had already been shown to be not much of anything. There were, there were airstrikes in the south both yesterday and today.
Well, it appears that Secretary Rice and Israeli Prime Minister Olmert have trouble getting on the same talking points because as she left Israel and then talked to reporters on the flight back, she was indicating that there would be a ceasefire, maybe at the latest later this week. And Olmert has given very significant conflicting statements saying that he's not ready for a ceasefire for at least a couple of weeks.
I think there are two things going on here. Number one, I think Rice is either disingenuous or simply naive about what the political conditions are that would have to be in place for her kind of ceasefire to occur. I mean, it's simply not realistic that that the Lebanese government at this stage is going to accept the kind of ceasefire that she wants to impose, which would involve putting together this force with a mandate to disarm Hezbollah first. And on the other side, where Israel is not prepared to accept a ceasefire that would that would mean that they have to stop their military campaign. They're talking about temporary lulls, curbs, to allow in, open a humanitarian corridor to allow aid flows in temporarily.
Well, Sam Gardner thinks the Israelis are reloading and servicing their airplanes too.
And that's also another logical explanation for what's going on. But Rice is still saying that she expects a ceasefire, and actually she's saying now days, not weeks. I don't know how many days that is.
Right.
I still think unless there's a change in the basic U.S. position about the order in which these things are going to incur, I don't see the the ceasefire happening anytime soon.
Well, Chris, thanks for the daily update. Can I ask you to look into one thing that I'd like to talk with you about tomorrow?
Sure.
A listener forwarded a link to the website whatreallyhappened.com. And there they have compiled a series of what appear to be foreign press accounts, for the most part, including a Forbes citation, that it was actually Israel that made the first incursion into Lebanon, where those two soldiers were captured.
I've been queried multiple times about those reports, and if you like, I can address that right now.
Go ahead.
I think those reports are false. The UN version of events, which was posted on their website, I believe, on July 12th, is pretty crystal clear. It says that there was a diversionary rocket attack launched by Hezbollah on an area in the Western Galilee near the Mediterranean. And very shortly thereafter, Hezbollah fighters did cross the border. They're into Israel, and there's a road that runs along the border on the Israeli side, an army road, a military road, and the convoy was traveling along that road. And that's where the ambush was staged. Three soldiers were killed, and two were taken captive. That's the UN version. I have a colleague who's confirmed that with a senior U.S. government source. And the other reason I doubt the reports that you mentioned is that neither Hezbollah nor the Lebanese government has ever advanced this claim that the capture of the soldiers occurred in Lebanon. And one would think, after the pounding Lebanon has taken, and the justification being the violation of Israel's sovereignty, one would think that both Hezbollah and the Lebanese government would be screaming from the rooftops that the soldiers were in fact taken in Lebanon. And the fact that they have not been indicates to me that story was probably just mistaken reporting.
Okay, that's really helpful. I appreciate that. Thank you, Chris. Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report on the web at merip.org. Joining us now is Ivan Eland. He's a senior fellow at the Independent Institute, a libertarian who's been on our program many times in the past. Ivan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I was struck by a piece that you wrote, published last week, Israel is winning the battle but not the war, and you make a comparison to Robert E. Lee. Tell us about that.
Well, since I wrote that article, I'm not even sure Israel's winning the battle, or going to win the battle. But in my article, I said that Robert E. Lee, who is still a hero in the South, waged offensive warfare and won a lot of battles, but he lost sight of the fact that when you attack, you tend to lose large amounts of people. And his army was a lot smaller than the Union Army. Now, people who defend him say he was trying to knock out the North. Well, I compare this to Israel because I think Israel tends to go with try to win tactical military victories. And I don't think that Israel is going to be able to wipe out Hezbollah. And Hezbollah's stature has increased in the Islamic and the Arab worlds because of this. And Israel sometimes wins the war but loses the peace. In 1973, it won the military aspects of the war, but of course politically it lost because the Arabs got points for holding territory and that sort of thing. It's just like in American politics, you're measured against your expectations, and of course the Arabs have never been held to as high expectations as Israel, simply because Israel has a better military. But Hezbollah is a guerrilla force, and I think they're operating under the same expectations. They're sort of a group, and they're perceived as not being very strong. And they're, even if they take a lot of punishment and they give back, which they are giving back more, and they have a better infrastructure than anyone thought, and I think their stature is rising because they're on the front lines in the Arab world fighting Israel.
Ivan, we got to stop for a break. We'll continue in just a moment. Ivan Eland with us from the Independent Institute. We'll get more of his thoughts on the situation in the Middle East as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you?
Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara, a midsize SUV that seats five. With four-wheel drive and a 2.7-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic, the Grand Vitara performed very well on a weekend drive to the coast. Good acceleration and passing power, easy to handle, quick to respond. My only complaint is that the four-wheel drive setup makes the steering a little tight at low speeds and requires a bigger turning radius. Inside, it's roomy and attractive with all the accessories you need, including a 6-CD changer with a subwoofer to annoy other drivers. Suzuki offers generous warranties and a great price. The mileage could be better. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara gets 19 mpg in the city, 23 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $23,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Still have some problems on 101 as you head a little slowing. Make that from the 85 interchange. Traffic brought to you by Cost Plus World Market. Need a bed before you head back to school? Don't miss the great bedroom set deal at Cost Plus World Market.
This is Hal before we
21 minutes past the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Coming up shortly, Jason Leopold will join us, our weekly visit with the investigative reporter from truthout.org. We'll see what he's working on. We continue now with Ivan Eland, senior fellow from the Independent Institute. They have a location in Oakland, California, and he's based in Washington, D.C. And about a year and a half ago, I went to an event at the Independent Institute and heard Michael Scheuer speak. He's the former CIA director of the Bin Laden desk. It was called the Alec desk for a while. And he is scheduled to be on our program tomorrow in the first hour, about halfway through. We can get an update from him on our posture toward
terrorism, and the war, the occupation in Iraq. We continue now with Ivan Eland. And Ivan, with your indulgence, I'd like to read a few lines from the item that you posted last week at the Independent Institute website.
Sure.
The aggressive Israeli policy of an offensive defense created the threat from these groups in the first place. When Israel invaded Lebanon in 82 to get rid of the Palestinian group Fatah, its invasion and occupation of southern Lebanon ultimately led to the radicalization of parts of Lebanon's Shiite community and the creation of Hezbollah. In Palestine, Israel originally supported Hamas as a counterweight to Fatah. As Israel's continued occupation began to radicalize the Palestinians and Fatah's corruption became exposed, Hamas gained support. Today it runs the Palestinian Authority. Strategically, Israel's disproportionate use of military force will not wipe out these groups or the support that they receive from their respective populations. Only a comprehensive, negotiated, not unilateral, Middle East settlement in which Israel gives back all of the occupied territories in exchange for peace and normal relations with its Arab neighbors will choke off popular support for these radical groups. Instead of futilely trying to drain the swamp of terrorists militarily, Israel should concentrate on draining their motivation for violence using political means. Ivan, I seriously agree with you. I think you have really nailed it here. Is there anyone who you can identify in the U.S. administration leadership who even, you know, tips his hat or her hat in the direction of your analysis here?
No, not really. I mean, this administration has unadulterated support for Israel. They're very pro-Israel, and they want people to know that. And it's mainly for domestic reasons. And you see that the whole world is calling for an immediate ceasefire, and the president is calling for a sustainable ceasefire. Now, of course, that's nonsensical on its face simply because how would you know if a ceasefire is sustainable unless you try it?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, this is all, of course, and everyone knows it, is just to give Israel more time to attrit the Hezbollah forces. However, you know, when your standing goes up in the Arab world, you're going to get more recruits, and, of course, Iran can resupply and reprovision Hezbollah. So I don't see how this is going to help. I mean, you're going to kill Hezbollah fighters, yes, but as I said, Hezbollah, this has turned into a unifying thing for Lebanon, because previously a lot of the other groups and sects in Lebanon were saying, well, Hezbollah got us into this mess, we're being pounded. But, of course, as the pounding goes on, that's forgotten, and when your nation is under attack, you pull together, and everyone pulls behind Hezbollah, unfortunately. And so you're raising their stature in the Arab world because they're on the front lines, as I said. And so, you know, you can replace the guns and even fighters, but unfortunately, there is going to be many more fighters that can be recruited, and those provisions are going to come, and Israel is going to not be able to do very well here, I don't think. Israel's talking about a 1.2-mile buffer zone instead of the buffer zone that they had before. It was 15 miles. Well, that will stop cross-border raids, but it will not stop rocket attacks. So if there is not an international force that goes in there, and if I were Syria, I wouldn't be too keen about negotiating one. Israel's stuck with occupying Lebanon, which, of course, is anathema to its own population because of the multi-year occupation, decades-long occupation that they had in Lebanon before, which was regarded as their Vietnam. So, what they're really trying to do is wipe out Hezbollah, but not have to occupy Lebanon. And, you know, that sounds like a recipe for military disaster.
Well, and Ivan, isn't there a real obvious lesson available to everybody in the region from the U.S. failures in Iraq?
Well, of course, Israel is doing the same problem. They're resorting to military action, which is needs to be solved politically, especially this conflict. You can argue that Saddam was not amenable to politics. Of course, that's not really true. But any guerrilla warfare that you have, whether it be in Iraq now or in Lebanon, the only way to really solve it is politically, unless you're willing to kill everybody but civilians and fighters in that area. And, of course, modern industrialized Western nations like Israel and U.S., their own population gets very nervous when we're talking about just wiping out everybody, because that's what you have to do in a guerrilla war if you really want to win. Guerrilla warfare is the Achilles heel of these modern militaries, and certainly U.S. and Israeli militaries are some of the most competent in the world with conventional arms, but when you get guerrilla warfare and you throw in Hezbollah's fierce ideological commitment, it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the Israelis.
And I heard a quote from Prime Minister Olmert yesterday. He said that we can't stop the military action until we have eliminated terror. And I understand it on, you know, in part from the Israeli perspective, but I feel that Bush has really murkied things up with, by referring to people as terrorists incorrectly. And I believe that what Israel is doing is terror on the people of Lebanon. So I'd like to see terror stopped on both sides, but Olmert can only see it from the other side.
Well, you're seeing Olmert and even the Russians mimic, or any country with a insurgency is now mimicking Bush's rhetoric that any opposition or fighters are terrorists. And what we have seen on the part of Israel is terrorism, and we need to call a spade a spade. And my definition of terrorism, and it applies to anybody, whether it's a nation or a group that commits it, is you're intentionally trying to kill civilians to get them to put pressure on their government to change policy.
Ivan Eland, thanks for joining us from the Independent Institute. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, Melanie Sloan with an update on corruption in Washington. It's amazing how she can talk about all that corruption in just 10 minutes. Then we're going to open up the phone lines for you in the Free Speech Zone and announce the winner of that case of fine Central Coast wine in the Peter B. First Anniversary Giveaway. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's time for our weekly debriefing from the investigative reporter at truthout.org, Jason Leopold, also the author of his memoir, which is called News Junkie. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the show today.
How are you, Peter?
I'm
good
doing
to be
okay.
Back here.
Well, thank you, sir. Nice to have you on with us.
I appreciate the gorillas.
Oh, I love the Gorillaz.
That's such a great band.
You know, that song was on the radio in Italy last year when I was on vacation.
Oh, no kidding.
And I could not get the name of the Gorillaz or the title of the song, which is Feel Good Inc.
Feel Good Inc.
Because it appears nowhere in the song.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things that was stuck in my head and driving me crazy. And I got back and I went to all these different record stores and I said, yeah, there's this guy, you know, it's actually like two songs, kind of a funky thing. And then Windmills, you ever heard it? And I said, they're looking at me like I'm just totally crazy.
Yeah, well, that's the Damon Albarn from the band Blur,
right?
Side Project. And that particular song has the guys from De La Soul.
Well, and they did a great opening for the Grammys this year.
Yeah, definitely.
They had their animated players up there, and then it kicked off into a Madonna segment, a dance thing, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're a very good band. Good choice, as usual. Excellent choice in the music.
All right, I got a new one for you. We just picked up the new Spearhead CD, Michael Franti in the band.
Oh, Michael Franti.
Yeah.
He is, you know, I've been a fan of his since the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, rather.
You're correct.
And, you know, that song, he's got a bunch of songs, but he has been so ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, putting, you know, making music a message about dissent. He's just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, he really speaks truth to power, sings truth to power, but his music is just incredible.
Jason, next time you're sitting around and have nothing else to do, drop me an email with some fresh tunes.
You got it.
My iPod is a little hungry these days.
Well, you've come to the right person.
And you appear to have pretty good taste, at least in my book.
Well, thank you.
Journalistically, what are you working on these days?
Well, you know, Peter, there is a lot of activity happening in Washington. Obviously, you know, the Middle East is a crisis at this point, but as we move closer to the November election, we're starting to see from both sides that the country, you know, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, is still divided. It's still, you know, totally polarized in terms of people are not all together in a unified voice.
And just on top of that, the New York Times had a great report about polling in Sunday's paper, which shows that we're even more polarized and partisan regarding the war than the divide that was created by Vietnam.
Yeah, this is really just, you know, after 5.5 years in office, Bush has just done an unbelievable job. It's not just him; it's, you know, his administration in really creating this atmosphere that we see right now. And, you know, as we move closer to the November elections, obviously Iraq is still a big issue. You know, now we've got the Middle East, now we've got Iran, and it's really affecting people. You know, I've actually, what I've noticed in terms of paying attention to You know, if you look at this from a sociological standpoint, and I'm not a sociologist, but people, you know, the general public, in essence, is really, really upset with the way the country is, you know, the direction it's headed. You know, right now we just have a report that came out from the House Judiciary Committee, the Democrats, you know, that found that the Bush administration, you know, they violated and broke over more than two dozen federal laws and regulations.
Now, wait a minute. Is this another one of those crackpot schemes from John Conyers in the basement of the Capitol?
You know, it is from John Conyers.
I'm not sure
in the basement, but look.
I only mention that because they won't give him a conference room on the first floor.
You know, yeah, and it's, but the... This is something that the report is titled A Constitution in Crisis, and I can't think of any better title for something like this. And especially as we move closer to the November elections, it's crucial that people understand that there will be no change in the way this country is headed if we do not, you know, take back hopefully both houses,
mm-hmm.
but at least one. And you know, if you this report is incredible because it is backed up by facts. Obviously, you know, it would be dismissed because it's the Democrats. They're the minority, so it really has no meaning. But I'm really happy to see that the Democrats are actually, you know, coming out with something like this and trying to offer up, you know, real hard documented proof about, you know, the false statements that were made to Congress,
yeah.
And they document that. And
well, and,
federal,
and Conyers,
federal laws about international treaties prohibiting torture, cruel and inhuman, you know, punishment. This
mm-hmm.
is just, you know, it's a laundry list.
Well, Conyers of Michigan and Waxman of California have been the two watchdogs who have not gone to sleep during this ascendancy of, you know, one party rule in Washington. And I do believe that Conyers is trying to lay the groundwork so that if control shifts, he would be chair of the judiciary. And while he has backpedaled on the idea of impeachment per se, he doesn't backpedal or back away in the least from accountability.
Yeah.
And accountability in my book could include impeachment of the president and vice president if it got that far.
Right.
But I'm very interested in seeing the illegal actions of the Congress reined in. For example, we know that the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 was signed into law, but is not technically valid because the House and Senate versions were never reconciled.
Yeah.
And you know, that is flatly illegal.
Action
has been taken, but it's stalled by the Republican slow-walking machine. And still, the markers are out there, the issues are on the table.
Right.
And in the event Democrats can regain control, things could change dramatically. But let me ask you, I know you're mainly a fact-based reporter, but I'm just curious about your speculation on Democrats taking back the House, because it's something I would really love to see. And my friend Pete McCloskey, the former Republican who challenged Richard Pombo, wrote a heartfelt piece that was on Truth Out and appeared elsewhere over the last week in the Sacramento Bee, too, which described his sad feelings that he is counseling Republicans to return control of the House to Democrats so they can clean it up. And he says, if they don't, we'll throw them out.
So I
do see that building rhetorically. But when I look at the Busby race in District 50 in California, and I look around the country at various other congressional races, I do not see people prepared to turn out their own member of Congress.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the character assassination, the smear campaigns are alive and well. In fact, you know, and that's what makes it difficult for me to actually speculate, to say I'm confident that they'll take it back. I mean, right now, just to, you know, as an example, the Swift Boat veterans have, now they're called the Veterans for the Truth. I believe that's what they're called.
Oh, great.
They're going after, you know, they've got a rally coming up, I believe, later this week. They're going after John Murtha. Now, John Murtha isn't a Democrat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is.
He is a Democrat, yeah.
Yeah, from Pennsylvania.
They are launching, he's a Democrat who was also very, you know, I wouldn't say hawkish, but...
Oh, that's fair.
you know.
John Murtha is the number one recipient, or he's in the top five. I don't want to be overstating it, but he is in the top five recipients of defense contractor money related to missile defense.
Yeah, well, and, you know, he spoke out, obviously, vociferously about his feelings about the war, but they are launching an attack against him. And here's the thing. The attacks, this, you know, these smear campaigns, character assassination, it works. It works in terms of mobilizing a base to vote for a specific candidate. And that's what we're starting to see right now. This report by Conyers has already, you know, attracted enough attention in the short time that it was out for specific Republicans to, you know, basically once again say the Democrats want to cut and run. And, you know, I'm speaking about this, and, you know, because everything seems to be wrapped up in terrorism. But it's really important, you know, and I'm just going to jump onto another issue that's sort of similar, but, you know, I think it was last week that there was a poll. I'm not sure who conducted it, but 50% of the public still believed that there were WMDs in Iraq. I don't know if you saw that poll.
What I heard was that it was some remarkable number, like 25% of Democrats and over 50% of Republicans believed that.
Right, right. And you know, that there's a reason behind that. What is it? You know, what is the reason that, you know, despite all the evidence we have out there, that these people still, you know, feel that was the case? And, well, you know, the problem is that we haven't, you know, the Republicans have not given up the information related to pre-war Iraq intelligence. In fact, this phase two, part of this investigation in promised to be wrapped up earlier this year, we now find out that we will not get that evidence. We will not get the report on what the administration knew, when they knew it, until after November elections. And you see, this is what I have been trying to, you know, in conversations and with people, trying to say that everything from this point on, in terms of, you know, trying to hold anyone accountable, they will go out of their way to cover it up. And unless people see through that, you're just going to get more of the same, you know, come November.
Yeah.
This report, you know, could be, you know, the final nail in the coffin in terms of actually exposing, you know, the administration for duping, you know, the American people and Congress. And it goes right back to this report that Conyers said, you know, the administration, false statements to Congress. That whole thing ties together. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, it's August right now, and it's a, you know, 90 days or a little more than 100 days, however long it is, the November election, midterm elections. It's not that much time, and I don't feel like I don't feel confident enough yet.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that...
Well, the polls do show that by a wide margin, I think only 26% of voters say that they intend to return their incumbent congressperson this year.
Right.
So there is a strong desire to throw the bums out. But as I've seen that play out in the past, it's rare that we want to throw out my member of Congress.
Exactly.
You know, there's somebody else out there that
exactly.
I would like to see defeated, but I don't get to vote for or against them.
Right.
So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it comes down to the wire. One little indication that I think is worth noting is that Republicans do seem a little bit nervous. They want to try to confirm John Bolton as the UN ambassador before they could lose control in November.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to jam it through before this August recess kicks in. They weren't successful, so they now have it scheduled for September, but they don't want to push it back any further than that because they might no longer have the votes that they hope to count.
Well, you can you know, see, or you can get a feeling for the nervous energy that's out there based on the rhetoric and the, you know, the vicious attacks. That obviously, you know, certainly shows how the Republicans fear that you know, they may lose power. And that's what it is. It's not losing control. It's definitely losing control, but it's losing power. And, you know, there is a very good chance that, you know, sure, some sort of impeachment proceeding would somebody would have the, you know, the guts to, you know, see that through.
Yeah, we got to take a break. Jason, we'll continue in just a moment. Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Salinas North Davis Road and West Rossi Street injury crash, a couple of cars involved. One of the cars actually overturned. Emergency crews are now on scene. Marina, northbound Highway 1 before 8th Street. It's a wooden plank in the right lane. Don't have any major problems to report on Highway 17 in both directions as you make your way through the mountains. But, of course, you know it's going to be a little slow leaving the reservoir up to the summit. Highway 1 a little slow as you leave Santa Cruz as well. Clean your engine and improve gas mileage with Tecron Fuel Injector Cleaner. Now at Napa, when you buy one bottle for just $6.99, you get a second bottle free after mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour.
As I was walking, oh, ribbon up highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
Not actually. This land was made for the Republican elite. And they have control of all the institutions of power in Washington, D.C. We continue with Jason Leopold. You can read about his work. You can read it, actually, at truthout.org. And, Jason, I understand that you and editor Mark Ash are working on a blockbuster that we're going to see early next week.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's again the... God, it seems it's so hard for me to actually say that out loud. Valerie Plame Carl Rove. But that is the, you know, we've been following up on the circumstances that led to Carl Rove's, you know, supposed exoneration or the way that his attorney had characterized it.
Right.
And it's interesting, you know, in 2 months of real investigative work, real just you know, talk, be, having numerous conversations, you walk with people involved in this. You know, you walk away sometimes with just a small nugget of info that really is, you know, explosive. But let me just say that, you know, we've put together a very, very good report. And it's clear that there, you know, we're just going to present the facts, you know, as we've been told, and that we've verified. And, you know, we'll leave it up to people from there. But let me just say that, you know, there is, there's an indictment that exists. As I had stated to you some months back,
right,
in the courthouse, in the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., a sealed indictment returned by this grand jury that was hearing the CIA leak matter, that indictment actually still is sealed nearly 3 months later. And we actually spoke to some former federal prosecutors. They're on the record. There are some of them are law professors now. That is a very unusual length of time for that to be sealed. And, you know, their look at this case is actually they've offered up some real, you know, great theories, and not just that, but some good facts behind it from just their own sort of footwork.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a report that basically ties that whole thing together. In addition, that you know, people have obviously been wondering, where is Patrick Fitzgerald? You know, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? He's still out there. This you know, the one thing that we've been told is the investigation is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And again. Who he has set his sights on, and who else is of interest, that remains to be seen. But you know, I think people will at least be interested in the fact that we had some really long conversations with several people, you know, very well placed, and I think that this will hopefully move the story forward a bit. And in addition to that, you know, maybe force some others out there to ask some real hard questions, of the folks involved.
Mm-hmm. Got to be tough for you, because in almost every story you've covered, and I'm speculating here because I don't know every story you've covered, but
yeah,
I imagine that there's been a leaker. There's been a way to ferret out information. And it does appear that Fitzgerald has succeeded where so many others have failed in creating a leak-proof operation.
You know, he definitely has succeeded in to some respect. Let me just say that, you know, when you leak information, you also have to be willing to, you know, take that information and you know, follow it up. But I could tell you that, you know, as obviously I have a, you know, have become part of the story in this and have learned a lot more, you know, as this investigation has gone on. And what I've also learned is that there are a number of reporters, and you know, I really want to stress this, there are a number of well-known reporters who see this as a non-story and simply have not, you know, ventured out of the office to follow anything up. You know, one of the things that has been taking place behind the scenes, and I've actually paid close attention to this, is that journalists, you know, sort of have put a black mark on this actual story. You know, there are still people who feel that the fact that a journalist was sent to jail, journalists forced to give up their sources, you know, will mean that, you know what, we're not going to bother covering it. It's almost as if the bad guy really is Fitzgerald to some of these people. So because of what he, you know, what he did in terms of, you know, forcing journalists to reveal who they spoke with. So it's very complex. There's a lot of different things going on behind the scenes, which has, you know, it's not just that it's leak proof. It's also that nobody really cares. And I think that, you know, it's sort of like that, you know, that people, if they were back really sort of a fly on the wall watching what was happening, I think they would walk away with, wow, The media really doesn't cover things that are, you know, right there staring at them in their face.
It is amazing because, and let me just offer a non-controversial example, or at least relatively, and that is I've now talked to three or four different people who were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner when Stephen Colbert performed what I think was one of the most memorable acts of comedy and satire of the last 5 years.
Yeah, and you know what?
And
you,
so many of them have said it wasn't funny,
right.
He didn't really connect.
Right.
And so I have to say, well, you're in some kind of an alternate universe because this guy really nailed you and your colleagues, and all you can do is tell me it wasn't funny?
That's exactly, you know what, that's an excellent example because, you know, you got an opportunity to see how, you know, mighty the pen is, you know, how mighty ink is in the sense that, you know, they thought, not only did they not think it was funny, but they actually panned his performance in published reports.
Yeah.
And
well, at first it was ignored.
Right. Yeah, it was ignored until, you know, obviously it came, you know, some footage was online, and C-SPAN played it over and over again. But yes.
Well,
that
and
exactly
we
my point.
We have to be grateful for the self-promotion instincts of Jon Stewart and The Daily Show.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's brilliant, but it's really, you know, that's exactly. You know, what the, you know, if you look at the Ken Starr was not leak-proof, leaked like a sieve.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, people were so willing, journalists were so willing to just scoop up whatever he had and, you know, and run with it. This is one of those things where there have been individuals out there who have offered up some, you know, information to some bigger reporters than me or some other folks who have been covering this. But they have simply just sat on it.
Yeah.
And I think that when we, you know, when history, when we, 5 years from now or however long it is, we're really going to get more of insight into, you know, really what happened.
Yeah.
When all the books are written.
And, Jason, we should look for your next piece next week?
Next Monday.
All right.
Truth. We'll certainly, I'm sure you'll hear about it.
Truthout.org. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter.
All
have
right.
A good week.
You bet. That's Jason Leopold from Truthout.org, and his memoir is called News Junkie. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan will talk about corruption in Washington. Then we open up the phone lines for you, and we're going to give away a case of wine to one lucky listener of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sanctuary now, baby. You know my love.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Intense fighting in Lebanon. As Israeli troops and tanks are on the move, CBS's Sharon Alfonsi.
There have been 5 airstrikes in 3 hours. Witnesses tell us that it appears that Israel has landed ground troops by helicopter deep into the Hezbollah heartland. And right now, there are fierce ground fights underway.
CBS's Vicki Barker runs and talks and tells us what she was seeing in Lebanon.
We've got to get out of here. We've just heard that they're bombing again. So we've got to get back into the car and try and catch up with the convoy again. Oh, because as long as we're with the convoy, we have a little, we don't have an assurance of safety, but we have a slightly better chance because the Israeli Defense Forces have been told to watch out for a Mercy Corps convoy. Unfortunately, we've just been separated from it.
She's okay, by the way. $21 billion. That's what the Pentagon says it'll take to bring U.S. reserve troops back up to snuff.
In Iraq right now, I've talked to many senior leaders and in Afghanistan. We're operating equipment at about 6 times
the normal rate. So helicopters are flying six times as many hours each month. Tanks and Bradleys are operating at six times as many miles each month as was planned.
Retired Colonel and CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland there. The heat wave reaches the nation's largest city.
It is miserably hot outside and hard on everyone.
That's Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He says temperatures near 100 degrees in such a heavily populated city of concrete is a challenge. And famous Big Apple landmarks turn down the lights for tonight. Mel Gibson has apologized for his words, and the Anti-Defamation League has accepted it as genuine. Meanwhile, the hindsight exam of the DUI arrest itself continues.
The chief attorney for the Office of Independent Review says the department essentially followed the rules, but Mike Giannaco says a number of questions remain.
Whether or not the department was considering how this report might end up getting out into the media.
Specifically, did the department attempt to protect Mel Gibson by trying to hide some of his inflammatory comments? Giannaco also said it was probably a mistake for the department to have initially said that the arrest took place without incident. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Atlanta's come around. Richard Jewell, the security guard who found the backpack bomb at the 96 Olympics and was clearing the plaza when it went off, undoubtedly saved lives that day. But during the investigation, he was briefly a potential suspect, was castigated, and ultimately forgotten after Eric Rudolph was found to have done it. Now, Richard Jewell is a sheriff's deputy in North Georgia. And today, the governor of the state, Sonny Perdue, said it was high time people said it out loud and loud. Richard Jewell is a hero. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 60 points. The Nasdaq was off 29.5 points today. This is CBS News.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pierce in sales, press 1. For Matt Pierce in accounting, press 1. For Matt Pierce in human resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pierce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
How to put a better spin on a nearly one-third drop in auto sales.
Sales drops of more than 30% look shocking on the surface, but Ford's top analyst George Pippa says you're comparing things to a record July of 2005. He says you need to take a more long-term look.
Consider the second half of the year in its entirety rather than singling out any given month.
Once again, sales of bigger trucks slowed significantly, and there was a boost in sales of smaller and mid-sized cars. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The Pentagon has released a report on the attacks at Guantanamo Naval Base, attacks by those Muslim detainees behind the bars, hundreds of attacks on the military guards using homemade weapons and frequently bodily fluids, headbutting, spitting, hurling metal cups full of everything they might produce at the Americans. A conservative group asked for the statistics, saying balance was needed over reports of military excesses. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
And
9, we launch into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I am your humble host, Peter B. And we're going to talk corruption in our first segment. And then we're going to take your phone calls in the free speech zone. Still looking for some sources, undercover individuals attending Rupert Murdoch's confab, the Bubba Bono Fest at Pebble Beach on the Central Coast. One source has given us some information. We'll pass it along to you a little bit later this hour. And also, we're going to announce the winner of the Peter B. Collins first anniversary giveaway. A case of fine Central Coast wine is going to one lucky listener. We'll have that for you later on this hour. And should you like to join us, I should like you to call at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Did I hear you say? Our music of the moment from Australia's Midnight Oil. Frontman Peter Garrett writes those songs. That one's called My Country, Right or Wrong. An idea I don't subscribe to, and neither does Melanie Sloan. She's executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, also known as CRU. And she works to try to get rid of the wrong part in that equation. Melanie, thanks for joining us today.
Always my pleasure, and there's just always so much wrong we have to write.
Well, there is, and you managed to really dispatch it in one segment a week. I applaud you for that. You do so many different things, and to condense them into one report, it's a marvel to behold. So, Melanie, up first we have some complaints that you have filed against these anti-choice abstinence-only organizations. Tell us what the issues are here.
Okay. There are two groups in South Dakota called the Alpha Center and the National Abstinence Clearinghouse, and they work on both abstinence issues and anti-choice issues. And these groups are headed up by a woman named Leslie Unruh. And these organizations are both 501c3 organizations. And you and I have talked a lot about 501c3 organizations in the past, and they get special tax status, which means that people who donate money to them get tax deductions for donating to C3 organizations. And in return, the IRS sets up pretty stringent rules that C3 organizations have to follow, and including my organization, for example, which is also a C3.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that C3 organizations can't do is engage in very much lobbying. There are sort of different levels about how much they can engage in, but it's very limited. And they also have to file tax returns called 990s, where they tell exactly how much lobbying they've been engaged in. And Ms. Unruh's organizations, the Abstinence Clearinghouse, the Alpha Center, said that they engaged in absolutely no lobbying activities. So if you're going to say that to the IRS, you better mean it.
Yeah.
But in point of fact, there are newspaper articles all over South Dakota talking about Ms. Unruh's lobbying activities on against abortion and on abstinence issues. She talks she's quoted as talking about how she's lobbied the governor of South Dakota and how she's lobbied George Bush and how she's lobbied Congress. So here she is talking extensively about her lobbying activities and telling the IRS at the same time she hasn't been engaged in lobbying. That's a pretty big no-no.
Now, isn't the crucial issue, because she could operate as a private citizen in these lobbying efforts that you describe, but isn't it crucial to determine whether the funds of the nonprofit were spent to, say, pay for an airline ticket to Washington so she could lobby the president, or a trip to I'm blanking on what the capital is.
Pierre, which I know only because I've been doing this.
Thank you. Pierre, I mean, you know, you got to go from Sioux Falls to Pierre. So if she used 501c3 money for those expenses, that would be actionable. But her free speech is permissible, isn't it?
It is. Her free speech is permissible. But Ms. Unruh is quoted all the time in her capacity as president of these organizations. In addition, she has, in her IRS filings, talks about how much she works for these organizations, and her total hours worked are 70 hours a week when you combine the two organizations. So I'm not sure how, when she's working 70 hours a week on behalf of these two organizations, there's any chance that when she's lobbying the governor of South Dakota, it's in her free time.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, one other thing that is that the IRS completely forbids is C3 organizations from getting involved in any political activity, that's any electoral politics. Well, the Alpha Center endorsed a candidate for the school board in South Dakota, and that's just, you know, under no possible theory is that permissible. So they violated their 501c3 status, and we filed a complaint asking the IRS to investigate. And we did this because not only is this a problem, but there's a greater problem of C3 abuse out there. And we've talked about it before when we've talked about Jack Abramoff, who used C3 organizations routinely to fund, say, lavish trips to Scotland for members of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And the IRS has said, well, we're cracking down on C3 organizations. But in fact, what it seems like they're cracking down on are liberal C3 organizations.
Right.
They've gone after the NAACP they're investigating, and they're also investigating a church sort of out in your neck of the woods, the All Saints Church in Pasadena, California, for when the pastor there merely made a speech before a sermon before the war talking about before the election, talking about the Iraq War. And yet he's being investigated, that church is. And yet we have groups like the National Abstinence Clearinghouse and the Alpha Center engaging in blatantly political activity, violating their C3 status, seemingly fearlessly, not worrying at all about whether the IRS is going to come after them for this.
Melanie, do they also cross the line into religion and politics and C3s? Because the abstinence only is it's supported by people who are largely evangelicals.
That's right, it is. And, you know, that's not where they get into trouble here, because evangelical organizations can be C3 organizations. For example, churches, and any evangelical church is very likely a C3 organization, and they're allowed to have strong anti-choice views and pro-abstinence views. Where they all start crossing the line is where they get into political activity, lobbying activity, and getting involved in voting, which, by the way, brings up sort of another issue, which is there was a really interesting article in the New York Times on Sunday about an evangelical pastor in Minnesota who finally had had enough and told his flock that he was no longer going to engage in the blatantly political activity he was being asked to. He said he was not going to introduce any more Republican candidates from the pulpit or give out voter guides that were thinly disguised telling people how to vote for Republicans. And he actually lost a bunch of the people from his church. Out of the 5,000 members, 1,000 dropped out. And they dropped out because he was saying he was no longer going to engage in illegal activity, which is, I think, pretty funny. And if he's saying that, you can realize how and many people dropped out because they viewed that as the role of evangelical churches, which means that churches across the country are engaging in this blatantly political activity that is, frankly, forbidden by the IRS. But, again, people are just ignoring the rules and apparently without any fear of losing their C3 status.
And on the other side, because you are nonpartisan, what happens when Democrats go to Baptist churches on a Sunday? Do they cross a line just by being there, or do they have to ask for a vote or do what's called electioneering in order to cross the line and violate the strictures of that church?
Right. I want to say that I feel pretty confident that there are people on both sides of the aisle who violate this stricture. But this was an interesting thing because it was talking about, this article was interesting because it was talking about the big problem of evangelicals, and this seemed to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
But it is okay for politicians to go to church. You will never find politicians who are not going to churches hoping for votes. The problems are where you get into a minister seemingly endorsing a particular candidate in a race over another candidate. That's, you know, if they say, you know, this is our friend, you know, I don't know, Rick Santorum, for example. That's the kind of place where a minister should be getting into trouble, but unfortunately seems not to be, unless, of course, he's a liberal minister.
Yeah, right. And is there any standard that the IRS has published about what, you know, it will investigate and what it won't? Is it kind of like the FCC? If they get a complaint, they look into it?
You know, the IRS is a very secretive organization, and you don't really know what they investigate and what they don't. They did say after the 2004 election, the commissioner of the IRS put out some statements about this, saying that they had been doing some investigating, and they found that there were lots of violations by churches engaging in electioneering activities during the 2004 election, and they were going to be cracking down on this a lot more in 2006 and beyond. So the IRS has said they take this seriously, and they're not going to allow it. But so far, the evidence really isn't showing that they're sticking to that word.
Yeah. Well, Melanie, thank you for your work. Thanks for checking in today. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. See you then.
Melanie Sloan. Visit their website. CREW is on the web at citizensforethics.org. That's citizensforethics.org. It's time for the Free Speech Zone, so grab a line and let's talk about the issues that are on your mind. You can talk to me right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Give me a call. We'll talk about it next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time home buyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540, southbound Highway 1 at Rocky Creek Bridge in Monterey. It's an accident involving a car and a trailer that could be blocking the left lane. That's southbound Highway 1 at Rocky Creek Bridge. Northbound Highway 1 at 17 Interchange in Santa Cruz. A couple of cars got into it. Could be clearing now on the right shoulder. And 25 at Bolidano Road. It's a two-car crash. They're trying to, in fact, one of those cars actually got caught on fire. They're trying to put that out on the southbound side. For limited time, Sleep Train will pay your sales tax on any Select Comfort, Simmons Breed S, Sealy Posturepedic mattress set. Plus, on approved credit, you'll sleep free for a year. Sleep Train, experience the difference. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Peter B. Collins. Show continues, 21 minutes past the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and it is the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere. I've got lines open for you right now, and I'll pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got my new number? 888-5-PETER-B. Yeah, we haven't updated the website yet. We're working on that. But in the meantime, you just have to rely on your failing memory. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And if you're working at the Inn at Spanish Bay along the Pebble Beach coastline there, you're invited to call the program and let us know what's been going on at the Bubba Bono Murdoch Fest. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Rupert Murdoch, the chairman of News Corporation, is paying for a conference, I think, for his high-level executives. And the parade of presenters is phenomenal. It includes Al Gore. We understand he spoke earlier today. Bono has been on the scene, the lead singer of U2 and a humanitarian activist who works around the world. And we understand that Bono is about to depart. So, Bono, if you're within the sound of my voice, we'll take your call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. And it was interesting because a caller yesterday kind of beat me up a little bit, saying I was being too tough on people like Al Gore or Bill Clinton for sitting down and talking with people like Rupert Murdoch. And I don't object to their meeting with him, talking with him, any of that. It just seems so tacky to take his money and to come and offer a speech to his employees when they have been so unfair, particularly to progressives like Bono and Clinton, he's occasionally progressive, and Al Gore. And whether it's the Fox News Channel or the New York Post or one of the other Murdoch organs, he doesn't play fair. And he has, in my view, dumbed down the media worldwide in a way that should never be rewarded. So that's my take on it. It's tacky. Is it wrong? Well, that's an individual decision. I mean, Newt Gingrich will show up any place where people ask him to speak and pay him for the privilege. We understand that Bill Clinton actually waived his fee, which is usually $100,000, to speak before the Murdoch group. Hey, Bill, take the money. I'm not opposed to that. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And if you are privy to the proceedings there, feel free to give us a call. You can disguise your voice, change your name, pretend you're calling from Eureka. We won't object. And we have dispatched our in-depth undercover investigative low-budget reporter, Tommy Panic, to the scene. I told him I would not pay for greens fees or a room at the Inn at Spanish Bay. It's $900 a night or something like that. So you may see Tommy Panic furtively working the grounds there. And at some point, he'll surface with a report today or tomorrow. We'll just have to wait for that to happen. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. Marianne joins us first from Pacific Grove this afternoon. Hi, Marianne.
Good afternoon. Yesterday, late afternoon, I did a little periphery reconnaissance around Pebble Beach. Live right near there.
Tell us.
Yes. This is the most encapsulated event I have ever seen there, and I've been in this area for a zillion years. There are no limos in the evening crawling around. None. Everything is in Spanish Bay, and it stays in Spanish Bay.
Oh.
This area usually is just thick with limos, town cars, drivers. None of it is going on. I have an idea for Tommy Panic.
All right.
Get in.
Yeah.
Every afternoon at sunset, outside the bar where there's a lovely patio, there is a bagpiper.
Yeah.
And rain or shine, I've seen them out there in sleet, still piping away. I've worked out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Tommy can dig up a bagpiper's costume.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I have never seen Tommy Panic's legs, so I don't know how a kilt will benefit or not the Panic look.
Well,
but he certainly has a lot of hot air and can blow for a long time.
Yeah, we'll find out what they wear under the skirt, right?
Uh-huh. All right, well, I'll tip Tommy off to that. I have to talk to him after the show tonight.
Yeah, well, you have a listener from Salinas whom I admire very much named Ben.
Yeah?
And a lot.
Uh-huh.
Now, that bagpipe business is from a bagpipe band that's out of Salinas. They march in parades a lot, and every day they send over a new one. You know, you don't usually look at the face of a bagpiper, but...
Sure. It's like one of those soldiers, what do they call them? The guys who wear the bear hats in
Sure. You know,
in England.
In fact, if you ever want a disguise, just put on a uniform of any kind.
Well,
ever look at your face.
Now, Marianne, I don't want to cut you short if you have more to say, but Ben actually is online, too, behind you.
Okay, let's hear Ben.
Why don't you hold on and let's introduce Ben. Hi, Ben.
Yes, I'd like to thank the young lady for the compliment.
And do you...
She reminds me of the spirit that I used to admire very much and a local woman named May Brussel.
Ah.
Old friend of mine.
I know about May, yeah.
There's a lot there that needs to be known.
Now, Ben, on a lighter note, do you bagpipe and...
No, you know what? I appreciate the history of the Scottish Highlander and all that goes with that, and I'm certainly, as a musician, I'm willing to listen to any and all kinds. It's just that when you see the breathing mechanism on that thing and those harmonic drones that go on with the extra pipes, I just can't see the harmonics. So therefore, I listen with respect.
Yeah.
It's all music.
Okay.
God bless the people that love it. I understand some people see that they hate it because of what it meant to, throughout their military history.
Mm, yeah. Well, I find it atonal myself, but it's an interesting oddity.
We agree.
Marianne, thanks for the call today.
Okay.
Nice to talk with you. Now, Ben, it's yours. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the deal. When I see Rupert Murdoch, now, I think he's one of the worldwide elite that definitely have their agenda, and it is in keeping with the PNAC. I think he's part and parcel of what their plans they have for the world, even if it means a nuclear war. I'm disturbed by the meeting in Spanish Bay for this reason. When you see those people shaking hands across national borders, they are certainly all part of the elite, whether we want to admit it or not. But that tells me the fix might be in. Maybe there is a reason for these concentration camps that they're building. I hear, like I'm always saying, I'm watching this because I know how the Jews must have felt. Well, Hitler was building these things thanks to Bush's granddaddy there,
mm-hmm.
who bought those. So I'm smelling, they're building these cages. I understand the one here in Bakersfield is called X-Ray. The one up by Hunter Liggett is called Rex. The one up in Yakima, Washington, they just finished, I think that's called Auschwitz, and I think they're planning one, a faith-based concentration camp in Crawford, Texas, which will be called Treblinka. But here's another thing.
10 seconds,
have you
Ben.
Listened to this thing going on C-SPAN with Alex Jones?
I know about it. I haven't been able to watch it.
Yeah, it's a must-see, because when you lay all these events timeline by timeline, everything from the PNAC group...
Got it. Got to run, Ben. Thank you very much. Your call is coming up next, 888-5 Peter B. on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara, a midsize SUV that seats five. With four-wheel drive and a 2.7-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic, the Grand Vitara performed very well on a weekend drive to the coast. Good acceleration and passing power, easy to handle, quick to respond. My only complaint is that the four-wheel drive setup makes the steering a little tight at low speeds and requires a bigger turning radius. Inside, it's roomy and attractive with all the accessories you need, including a 6-CD changer with a subwoofer to annoy other drivers. Suzuki offers generous warranties and a great price. The mileage could be better. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara gets 19 mpg in the city, 23 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $23,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540, KRXA.
Three minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Sing it, Neil. We're just going to keep on rocking in the free world. More of your calls coming up in just a moment here in the free speed zone at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. But today is the 1st of August, and we made a promise a couple of weeks ago and repeated it over and over again that today's the day we'll announce the winner of the case of wine, the fine Central Coast wine, donated to us by the fine folks at the Monterey Bay Wine Company. And I will underscore that this box of wine is not a box wine, but it's a case with 12 bottles. And they have been personally selected by one of the wine lovers there at the Monterey Bay Wine Company. And in just a moment, we're going to announce the lucky listener who has prevailed and will, we'll be drinking well for at least a little while. I wanted to share, just revel in some of the comments. Hillary from Humboldt sent me a very nice note, snail mail. I did get it, Hillary. She said, I was trying to recall how I first found your program on KGOE. I've never been a talk show listener, but from the moment I discovered your radio program, I've continued to tune in. Looking deeper into issues has always been important to me. Indira Singh, a woman you interviewed 2 years ago, had a revealing story regarding investors who bet on what would happen on the stock of American United Airlines in the days following 9/11.
You are correct. She was a very interesting woman. And she said, I always appreciate Larissa's weekly visits. Miss her when she isn't there or when our radio station cuts out for baseball. Larissa would be simply entertaining with her style of intrigue, yet she is offering so much more with her special way of seeing. She leaves no stone unturned, and what she sees is deadly serious. You're right. Thank you very much for that. And the email entries, a lot of great ones. Let's see. Diane wrote in. I'm clicking on it. I love Dave from Humboldt's calls about voting integrity, but the best moment for me was your announcement that you're going to have perfectly legal author David K. Johnston on in the near future. And I didn't do it for your birthday today, Diane Salazar. Happy birthday today, August 1st. We're having a little trouble tracking David K. Johnston down, but we're going to do it, and he'll be on the show in the near future. So do please keep listening, and thank you for entering our a birthday giveaway, Diane. Margot in Elk Grove said she just found us on the radio dial. That's because we're new in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. So refreshing to go to sleep every night listening to an intelligent voice. Why, thank you very much, Margot. And let's see who else wrote in here. Lisa in, well, actually the email says Lisa, but it's signed by Peter in King City. And he says, I remember you saying you like to track politics and politicians the same way others track sports. Yeah, you're right. Around the time of Congressman Murtha's declaration that we need to pull out of Iraq, I remember Billy from Capitola calling and making the analogy between pulling out of Iraq and other kinds of intromission. That was kind of hilarious. Also, huge kudos to Ben in Salinas, show-worthy in his book. Thank you, Peter. And let's see, a couple more here. This is Frank. He says he likes John of Carmel Valley, and he recommends a book to us. All right, thank you very much there, Frank. And I got a couple more here that I want to share with you. I guess my favorite interview was the time you had Ray McGovern on. Ray was one of the first people to come forward in exposing the Bush Republican crime family on Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Show about 3 years ago or so. Well, thank you very much there. And I think I got one more here in the email. Greg in Carmichael said he's a new listener because we've only been on in Sacramento a short period of time. He said that, let's see, I have to say every program is informative and inspiring. In this critical period of our democracy, it's absolutely necessary to have as much information as possible. With the quality and vast number of informative guests on your program, your show provides listeners like myself with information that helps us protect our fragile democracy. Other programs on the progressive side of the spectrum seem to rant. A rant is okay, but I want intelligent guests and a well-prepared host. You fit that criteria. Well, thank you very much, Craig. I really appreciate that. And it is time now. We conducted the random drawing off air a few minutes before showtime today. And the winner of the case of fine Central Coast wine from the Monterey Bay Wine Company is Alice Fretland of Eureka, California. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the senior Alice who calls our program, and I always am thrilled when she does. So, Alice, congratulations to you. And if you have a chance, give us a call, and we will make the arrangements to ship a case of wine to you in the very near future. And I want to thank everybody who offered their congratulations and entered our giveaway. Didn't have time to read all the entries on the air, but gave you a cross-section. And I just appreciate, number one, that you listen, and number two, that you have such great memories, and you can pull out some of those interesting things that we've done over the years, and over the year, I guess. And I certainly do thank you for listening and for your kind thoughts. John and Carmel Valley, you're up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, you may recall that in the 67 war, there was the sinking of a U.S. naval vessel, the Liberty, by Israel.
I do.
In the Mediterranean. I had remembered that there was an event, and I had to get a hold of a book to bring back the details, which I did do. And I could not determine from what I read who was more to blame, the U.S., because it was a spy vessel. They called it an intelligence vessel, but it was pretty well snooping on Israel's activities, particularly seemed interested in Israel's invasion of a preemptive strike into Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like you to ask Colonel Gardner, who must know something about this whole incident, more than something,
mm-hmm.
next time you have a chance to interview him about it,
okay.
what he thinks really happened, because it was hushed up.
Mm-hmm.
The book I got a hold of was published in 78, and that's not very recent information. There must be more out about it since. Maybe a listener out there.
Yeah, you know, sometimes on a talk show, it's amazing. You ask a question like that, and there's somebody who just read a book about it or, you know, had a relative who was on that. So let's throw it open, and I will make a note here to ask Colonel Gardner next time we talk about the Liberty. And if you happen to know the information about how that issue was handled and what the ultimate outcome was, I don't recall. I remember just vaguely the incident, but I don't recall the outcome.
But it looks small potatoes compared to what's happening in Lebanon. The more I think about this, I'm just dumbfounded. I see almost nothing military in this. I see retribution and just brazen craziness. It's just so shocking that any country would so abuse innocent people, just bomb them into the ground like what's happening. And it shocks me as much that there's so little seeming concern here about it. I know there is concern.
Yeah, there
is. It doesn't amount to much real moral indignation. This should not be happening, period.
Yeah.
And I can't. The more I see and read about it, the more horrified I am that any country, I mean, I don't even think the Soviet Union would have done something like this, not this brazenly and openly.
Well, you got a point there. It is breathtaking.
It's almost unprecedented for it says in capital letters, these people's lives don't account for anything. We'll do anything imaginable. How about atomic weapons? They're about the only thing they haven't used so far.
Well, I cited this earlier today. Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of Israel, made a comment yesterday that he wants to continue the hostilities, the military operations, until they can put an end to terror. And I just look at that and I say, wow. That is amazing that he could say that, because I define terrorism as, you know, taking the lives of innocent civilians in a political effort. And I think that's what Israel is doing in Lebanon right now. And I want to be quick to add that Israel has been a victim of terrorism on many occasions, and they are rightfully concerned about that. But what they don't see, in my view, is the unintended consequences here, and that they are really strengthening Hezbollah and other Arab groups that virulently oppose Israel. And this is just completely backwards. We heard Ivan Eland on the program earlier today with a similar vein that, you know, the intention of Israel is not going to be reflected in the results.
No, it's not. It's just appalling. It makes you wonder if other administrations had been as willing in their other wars, 73, 67, 48, and other conflicts in between, had been willing, like the Bush administration, to just give them a free hand, because clearly that has a huge part in this. Would they have behaved as cavalierly and brazenly as they are now? I want to say this, because I'm sure a lot of Israelis, the first thing they would say to defend themselves is, what if you had been in the Holocaust? What if you had suffered not only in that, but you knew very well what your people had suffered in pogroms, in all kinds of awful events and indignities down through the years? Because I would be the first to agree that anti-Semitism is one of the most awful things that has perpetually plagued the human race.
And that legacy is a significant one. At the same time, we cannot turn a blind eye to the utilization of some of the same techniques. People were so upset when the Germans partitioned the ghetto in Warsaw. and rounded up people and sent them to concentration camps. Well, Israel has built a huge partition between its border, and in some cases they've grabbed land from Palestine in the process, and they have, in a large concentration camp called Gaza, hundreds of thousands of people whose mobility and very livelihoods are constrained on a daily basis by Israel. And to use the tactics that were used against them in the Holocaust in the name of preserving the state of Israel, it's in my view, immoral and counterproductive. It will not lead to the result that Israel desires.
And
John, I got to go to a break.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for your call.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to hear more from listeners about these and other issues. Got lines open for you for the remainder of the hour. It's the Free Speech Zone, so call me. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Santa Cruz northbound Highway 1 at 17, it's an accident on the right shoulder. A couple of cars involved. Hollister, San Benito Street at Nash Road, reports of a grass fire burning near the roadway there. Also northbound Highway 1 at Palo Coralado, it's a stalled motorhome pulling a trailer and it's blocking some lanes. Now during Mattress Discounters Pillow Top Sale, you can get a Simmons Pillow Top for only $588. Plus, you'll find other select Simmons and Sealy Pillow Tops on sale. Mattress Discounters, quality brands, discount prices. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're there in the driver's seat. Heading home on this Tuesday afternoon. I've got lines available in the Free Speech Zone if you'd like to share some of your free speech with us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Can you spell it? 888-573-8372 if you like it all numerically. Yeah, And a couple of items that I didn't get to earlier in the program today. You remember Jeffrey Miller. He's the general who ran Guantanamo Bay and then was dispatched to Abu Ghraib to Gitmoize, our detention facility, and the interrogation process there. Well, Jeffrey D. Miller retired from the military on Monday. He had planned to retire from his two-star Army position sooner, but his departure was delayed by a number of issues, including whether he would testify at courts-martial of lower-ranking personnel. If you remember, we've talked about this before. General Miller took the military equivalent of the Fifth Amendment and tried to avoid testifying in the cases of underlings who were talking about our torture policy at Abu Ghraib. And in May, he finally did testify at a court-martial for a dog handler. And during that, Miller said he never suggested that dogs be used to intimidate prisoners. But many of us suspect that the authority goes up the line even beyond General Jeffrey D. Miller. Perhaps we'll never know. I hope we do find out, and I expect that the initials of Donald Rumsfeld will be found on the memoranda that permitted these interrogation techniques to become practice, if not policy, at Abu Ghraib and most likely at other points around the globe. We know there is a gulag of American detention facilities, and we don't know much more than that. Washington Post disclosed it earlier this year, and or actually it was late last year, I guess. And so there's much more to learn about these issues. I understand we've reached Alice in Eureka. Hello, Alice.
Hi.
Hey, congratulations.
Well, how about that? Nobody was any more surprised than I was.
Well, first of all, Alice, do you drink?
Well, no, I don't, really.
You don't?
But some wine would be nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to send you a case, and I know your friend Dave Goggin lives nearby, and I hope
he's right here.
And does he know how to operate a corkscrew?
Does he know? Well, here, he'll listen to you.
Okay. Dave, do you know how to operate a corkscrew?
I have done that once or twice in my life.
Yeah.
When I ran out of water, I did it.
Well, maybe you can help Alice with the project here of consuming a case of wine. Take your time. You know, you don't have to do it overnight. And some wine, you know, tastes better if you let it age a little bit in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, I want to thank you both for being devoted listeners and frequent callers. And I have to say, I mentioned this to Tom Seaborn at KGOE in Eureka the other day, that, you know, I was on the station once before for about a year and a half, and then we made some changes, and I was off for a while. And I have to say that coming back to Eureka has just been fabulous. There's so many great listeners, so many good callers, and the response from KGOE has just been through the roof. And I'm very grateful for that.
Tom Seaborn is great and a big fan of yours, Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, best to both of you. And, Alice, give me about 10 days. I got to actually go pick up the wine and then ship it to you. But it'll be arriving probably in a brown truck sometime in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
All right.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you're absolutely welcome, and couldn't happen to a nicer, more senior person.
Yeah.
You are the senior listener on the Peter B. Collins Show, to my knowledge.
Right now, I'm 92 and a half.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, Alice, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, and Dave, we'll talk to you soon. So, we took care of that, and I am delighted. And here is something that I have been saving for a while, and this is the perfect opportunity to lay it on you. It's time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day, because I have a memorable dispatch from Andy Borowitz at BorowitzReport.com. And it reads, fighting breaks out between CNN and Fox. Fears of a wider war in the Middle East were realized today as fighting broke out between CNN and Fox in southern Lebanon. In the 2 weeks since the Mideast conflict began, camera crews and on-air personalities from the two cable news giants have been staring each other down, jealously guarding their territory in the fight to beam the most dramatic footage back home. Diplomatic experts have worried, however, that the massive presence of both CNN and Fox in southern Lebanon was a powder keg waiting to explode. Worries that seem particularly justified today. While setting up a shot with his camera crew this morning, the Fox News Channel's Geraldo Rivera saw that another newscaster was clearly visible in the background of his shot, CNN's Anderson Cooper. In a fury, Mr. Rivera dropped his microphone and ran over to Mr. Cooper, assaulting him with a barrage of verbal taunts. "Get out of my shot, hurricane boy!" The unhinged Mr. Rivera reportedly shrieked, engaging Mr. Cooper in a fierce bout of slap fighting. Amid rising tensions between the two cable news behemoths, there were renewed calls for a third party to act like a buffer between CNN and Fox. "What we need is a neutral party who's not involved in the cable news ratings race," one insider said. Like CNBC. Andy Borowitz's kicker is always good and about something different. He says, elsewhere, to joint appearance at the White House, President Bush praised Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki for the progress being made in Iraq, while Mr. al-Maliki voiced concerns about his car being stolen in his absence from Baghdad. I have just been waiting to share that one with you, and I feel better now. And I have one more item. In France, where I like to go to the beach, particularly along the Mediterranean, one thing that makes it a little more fun is that many of the women sunbathe topless. And it's, you know, it's fun, but I don't want to sound like some horn dog who goes out and stalks women on the beach. But it's a pleasant sight to see as you're lounging by the on the beach there. On La Plage, as they say in French. Well, now in Paris, they have put some urban beaches in along the Seine River, and they are called Paris Plage. And unfortunately, in France, they are imposing Western rules. And it says no matter how hot it gets, appropriate dress is required, and the rules are pretty strict. Among the rules, no political statements, no commercial statements, no religious or union demonstrations. There's no unauthorized freelance entertainment, you know, like mimes or fire eaters or jugglers. Activities that are dangerous or contrary to public order, like gambling, and indecent dress, including nudity, thongs, monokinis, and the one-piece swimsuit that is rolled down to permit the sun to shine on a woman's breasts. And so the fine is $48. I don't know exactly how many euros that is, if you violate the rules there in Paris. And I find that rather disappointing. I like to ogle, and they're making it harder all the time. I guess I'll just have to go to La Plage in the south of France next time. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. If you've got inside scoop on the Bubba Bono Fest paid by Murdoch there at Spanish Bay, call us. We'll talk to you at 888-5-PETER-B.
Happy trails to you.
And we'll be back at you same time, same stations tomorrow. Drop in, you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And someday soon we'll spruce up the website at peterbcollins.com.
Keep smiling until then.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Israeli and...
Hezbollah fighting in southern Lebanon, leaving towns near the border somewhat snaggletooth.
It really looks as if some monster had stepped in and just taken a few big bites out of this building. You can see rubble and broken concrete and wires sticking out of it.
CBS's Vicky Barker in one of those forlorn south border towns.
The town here has had no electricity for 12 days since their station was bombed, and they're running out of clean water. The mayor told me they've already seen 4 cases of waterborne diseases.
Fighting's been intense tonight. Israeli officials saying things have gone well, moving closer to ceasefire possibilities. Secretary of State Rice says she thinks it's days, not weeks, before the guns will stop. The ebb and flow of combat readiness among U.S. military reserves has ebbed of late.
What's causing the combat readiness drop-off? Mainly equipment shortages due to the strain being put on tanks, trucks, and other vehicles in Iraq and Afghanistan. Much of it is left behind when units come home. Much of the rest needs a lot of maintenance.
You find an enormous backlog of maintenance and repair, and a bill just hasn't been paid and been pushed off.
Retired Army Colonel and CBS News consultant Jeff McCausland says new weapons and equipment programs could end up suffering because it'll take tens of billions of dollars to maintain current stocks. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Oil drillers may go back to work offshore in the Atlantic soon.
This measure opens up 8 million acres in the eastern Gulf for new oil and gas drilling, not too close to Florida's beaches, and with a cash incentive for the Gulf states, they'd share royalties. New Mexico Republican Pete Domenici says environmentalists have blocked any change to the drilling moratorium for 25 years.
But you got to take a bit of a risk for a big benefit. In this case, it's a very minimal risk and a very big benefit.
The House and President Bush would like to open up a lot more offshore areas to drilling, but Senate leaders say this bill is as far as they can go. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It's Tropical Storm Chris.
We currently have tropical storm warnings out for Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, the British Virgin Islands, Antigua, Barbuda, and St. Martin.
That's Jennifer Pralgo at the National Hurricane Center. 60 mile an hour winds passing over the Leeward Islands.